are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Thursday, everybody. Happy second day of 2020. The Wolves are coming off of a two-point loss in Milwaukee on Wednesday night in a game in which they were 18-point underdogs heading into the game. And if you still believe in silver linings, like so many Timberwolves fans, were kind of jaded by the consistent, constant silver linings over the past, decade plus. But I think we can talk about silver linings after this one. Today we're going to talk about how impressive of a loss it was for the Wolves, if that makes any sense at all, as we cover the game itself, and then we will get into our individual studs and duds awards. And then finally, we'll do a brief preview of Wolves Warriors for Thursday night. The Wolves, of course, just played the Warriors last week, and this is the third time they'll have faced Golden State this season. So we'll talk about that game as well, as Minnesota will be on the back end of a back-to-back after returning home from their one-game road trip in Milwaukee, Wisconsin on Wednesday. All right, so for Wolves Bucks, this was for all intents and purposes, this was a solid performance by the Timberwolves, given their shorthandedness once again, and given the Bucks being a 30-5 team that is nearly entirely healthy. The Wolves really had no business being in this game, and they led for a good portion of the first half. They had a chance to win late. They had the ball down one possession with like 16 seconds left in the game. It's hard to ask for much more than that. And they did follow almost to a T what I had suggested in the preview show on Wednesday, on Wednesday morning, as the Wolves overall shot the ball fairly well and kept anybody but Giannis from hurting them on the Bucks. Giannis was the only guy who scored more than 13 points for Milwaukee. They only had three players not named Giannis in double figures. And the Wolves were able to shoot 33% from three, which is, it's hard to ask them to do much more than that with no Towns. And, you know, it wasn't a complete clank fest like they've had at times in the past. So the Wolves did what they needed to do, and they were in the game. They played extremely hard. Reminds me of the Gorgui Dieng quote from the other day when he, after the win against Brooklyn, when he talked about, this is obviously a paraphrase, but basically just that they're playing extremely hard and that he really hopes that the guys who are injured when they come back understand that that is what has been the difference for this team. Fox Sports North ran a stat pregame. The Wolves defense since December 15th coming into the game against Milwaukee was third in the league in defensive rating, which is kind of crazy. They've still only won two games since then, but it's because the offense without Towns and now for the last three games without Wiggins has largely been lost. But the defense has been legitimately good, and that goes to show you how much of defense is just a function of playing hard, understanding the system, and obviously playing within the system, but effort and rebounding is so much of that is effort as well. And Jim Peterson made a couple comments during the game about who knows what happens when Towns and Wiggins come back, and how much of will they be able to keep playing in this fashion with those guys on the court? And they were really early in the season, so it's not like it's impossible. But part of the issue of for the Wolves in the first part of December, you know, Towns was healthy at that point, was playing hard, and that's not to suggest that Towns wasn't playing hard, but there has always been a little bit of an effort level question with Wiggins at times, and clearly, I think the team, it finally clicked with them that, hey, if they're going to have a shot to win without their best player, and in this case, without their two best players, they just have to play really hard to try and win. And in this particular instance, it did them well against the Bucks. Early in the game, the Wolves played good defense. Milwaukee missed their first, I think it was seven, maybe eight shots from the field, and the Wolves were up like 9-2. It was bad shooting by Milwaukee, but the Wolves were good on defense. They were scrambling. They were contesting shots. They were rebounding the ball well against one of the league's best rebounding teams. The Bucks are second in defensive rebounding percentage across the league, first in total rebounds per game. The Wolves just did a good job in the first quarter. The Bucks got back into it. Minnesota was only up four headed to the second quarter. The Wolves started the second quarter with a really interesting and a really big lineup. They had Jarrett Culver running the point. Jalen Noel had been called up from the G League, played, had extended run in this game. Kata Bates Diop at the three, and then Jordan Bell and Gorgui Jang in the front court. Ryan Saunders went with a two big man lineup several times in this game to try and combat the Bucks rebounding, and it worked fairly well. Bell and Gorgui played together at times in the second half, I guess a brief stretch. Naz Reid and Jordan Bell played together. There was also, I think, Naz Reid and Gorgui shared the court very briefly. But Saunders was understanding what he needed to do to combat the Bucks rebounding prowess as a team. The Bucks still out rebounded the Wolves 60-48, and there were some key rebounds late that the Bucks were able to grab, and that was part of the downfall of the Wolves near the end of the game. But the idea was smart. What Saunders was trying to do. Nasri's been, as good as he's been offensively, he's been a little bit underwhelming on the glass so far. He had just 4 rebounds in 20 minutes. The other night against Brooklyn, and he had just 2 rebounds in 18 minutes in this one against Milwaukee. So that's part of the problem. Gorgui was solid. He had 15 and 6 in 24 minutes. Jordan Bell had 3 rebounds in 14 minutes. So you want a little bit more rebounding wise out of your centers. But the intention was there from Saunders to keep a bigger lineup on the court. And remember, all those guys, I mean, I guess not Bell, but Reid and Gorgui can both shoot from the perimeter as well. And so trying to keep Giannis and Lopez out of the paint as much as possible, which is a lot easier said than done. It was kind of a block party for the Bucks. They had 12 total blocks as a team. 6 of them were by Brook Lopez. Giannis had 2. So that was the intention by Saunders, and it worked fairly well. But I guess was better. The idea was a little bit better than the actual execution. The Wolves offense was really keyed by Shabazz Napier's aggression. Once again, he again led the team in scoring in this game. He had 22 points. Nobody else on the Wolves had more than 15. And outside of Gorgui's 15, there were 5 players that scored between 10 and 12 points for the Wolves. So a pretty balanced attack outside of Napier, which was to be expected, but a really good game from Shabazz. And it's nice to see him knock some of the rust off. And we'll talk more about him in studs and duds. Late in the game, the Wolves found themselves down by 3 possessions or so late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter. And Saunders chose to go with basically an all G League lineup, 4 rookies plus Kata Bates Diop, who spent most of last year in the G League. He's been up for most of this year, but started the year primarily. I mean, he's played a couple games down in Iowa. But this lineup was really, I guess, kind of a gutsy call by Saunders. I guess he didn't have that many additional options with 5 guys out in this game. But he ran for a stretch, for a really long stretch, actually, with Culver running the point, Noel at shooting guard, Keelan Martin, Kata Bates Diop, and Naz Reid. So you're talking about a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and 2 undrafted guys, 1 on a 2-way contract, plus Kata Bates Diop, who was a second-round pick last year. Really unique lineup that actually did quite well and injected some energy. They all played really hard. They injected some energy into the game. I guess gutsy from Ryan Saunders to roll with that group for an extended period of time. Down the stretch, he did go back to essentially the starting lineup, and they played well too. Again, the Wolves only lost by 2 points, but just fascinating to see what some of these rotations have been and how they've come together with the team's injuries. With the Wolves trailing by, I guess, it was 6 or 8 points, Jarrett Culver went into the lane and had a massive dunk over Robin Lopez. I think it was late in the third quarter, and just a complete poster. Probably the best dunk we've seen by a Wolves player this year. The Wolves aren't exactly a high-flying team. And Culver flexed and said something to Lopez, not much, and Lopez chased him down the court and shoved a Timberwolf out of the way. I forget who it was, because for some reason they didn't really show the replay of the altercation, but Lopez just two-handed shoved somebody. The refs went and reviewed it, and inexplicably Culver was called for a technical and Lopez was called for absolutely nothing, which actually ended up mattering because the Wolves lost by 2 points. And that technical that was called against Culver, obviously he's got to try and show a little bit more restraint, but you also don't want to dial back a guy who has been super aggressive lately and needs to be aggressive to be successful. And for the Wolves offense to be successful, they need Culver to be in attack mode. And I'd much rather have him dunking over Robin Lopez than jacking up threes. He was 0-for-5 from beyond the arc in this game. Another 0-for for Culver from deep. But at any rate, it doesn't make any sense to me that Lopez was not called for anything for a two-handed shove. and that Culver was called for a technical. But at any rate, that hurt the Wolves down the stretch. But it was an awesome dunk. And then the Wolves struggled a little bit with execution late in the game. And we'll get into that here a little bit more in just a second. And then we'll also get into studs and duds. Before we put a bow on the Milwaukee Bucks victory over the Wolves, I did want to mention, once again, our friends at MyBookie. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, the middle of NBA season, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy or gal who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, final thoughts on Wolves-Bucks. Down the stretch, the Timberwolves, as mentioned, were only down by a possession late. Basically, they struggled a little bit with execution on offense, which is to be expected with a lineup that hasn't played together much at all this season. And the Bucks pretty much just kept giving the ball to Giannis, and everybody else got out of the way. Giannis attempted 22 shots, was 13 of 22 with 32 points, 17 rebounds, 4 assists. Chris Middleton had 18 shot attempts, but only made 5. Went for a 13-8, and Brooke Lopez attempted 12 shots, had 11 points. Bledsoe had 10 points on 10 shots. So this offense revolved entirely around Giannis. He was only 3 of 8 from the free throw line. He missed a couple down the stretch, but the Wolves also struggled with free throw makes down the stretch. Josh Okogie missed a couple of big free throws late, and Gorgui Dieng missed a free throw late. The Wolves defensively did okay to funnel everything, to force Giannis to do what Giannis does and then stick to everybody else and keep the Bucks from shooting well from beyond the arc. I mean, Milwaukee was 25% from deep, 9 of 36. And at the end of the game, it was just simply Giannis getting to the rim and either scoring or getting fouled and you know, going 1 of 2 at the free throw line, essentially. So good job by the Wolves to keep themselves in the game. It all came down to an inbound play. The Wolves smartly called a timeout with about 15 seconds left. We're able to inbound the ball at half court, down by 2. They passed the ball into Gorgui Dieng. He was unable to get the ball to either Shabazz Napier or Jarrett Culver. It looked like he was supposed to hand off to Napier, but George Hill did a great job of denying the catch as Gorgui held the ball outside the arc, really right at the top of the key. The Wolves tried for a few seconds to get the ball to Napier. Culver couldn't shake free either. So Gorgui dribbled to his right, ended up just inside the three-point arc on the right wing, gave the ball to Culver in the corner. Culver was somewhat kind of double-teamed and made a difficult pass to Gorgui, who shot the ball as Lopez recovered and contested Gorgui's shot from just inside the arc. It was online and just barely missed. It wasn't obviously the shot the Wolves wanted. Gorgui was a little bit off balance. Bucks got the rebound with 1.1 seconds left. Lopez missed the first free throw, and so it was almost identical to the situation the Wolves had in Oklahoma City when Towns was supposed to miss the free throw, accidentally made it. The Wolves went up 2, and then the Thunder tied it on the full court pass from Steven Adams to Dennis Schroeder. In this scenario, with the Wolves up 2, Lopez successfully missed the free throw. Covington got the rebound but was unable to get a shot from full court, and so it's the exact situation. I mean, I think it was even 1.1 seconds left against the Thunder. If Lopez accidentally makes that with the Wolves, I guess in that scenario, the Wolves would have been down 3. So they would have needed to get the ball to half court basically as fast as they could and shoot a 3. So that would have been similar to the situation, if you remember the Wolves Thunder game from early in the season a couple of years ago, when Wiggins hit the half court shot after Carmelo Anthony's 3-pointer put the Thunder up. And then the Wiggins buzzer beater won the game for the Wolves in that scenario. It was actually a little bit more similar to that in terms of what the Wolves would have had to do if Lopez had made it. But he did successfully miss the second one, and the Wolves lost by two. So offensive execution late on that inbounds play was not good, but it's hard to blame the Wolves too much with such a unique lineup. I mean, they had Keelan Martin on the floor, you know, for this game-ending play, and it was unclear what the play actually was, as they never really got into the set with Gorgie unable to get the ball to Napier. But overall, a good game from the Wolves. The fact that they lost by two when they were 18-point underdogs, they had a chance to win at the end with the final possession. You know, they took on the best player in the league in Milwaukee after having lost to them by 26 earlier in the season with no Towns, no Wiggins, no Jake Lehman, no Noah Vonleh, no Jeff Teague. The list goes on. Solid all-around performance. Tough to get too upset about that. All right, quickly, studs and duds. For the Timberwolves, Shabazz Napier stud in this game, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists in 31 minutes, 4 of 7 from three-point range. He had a couple tough off-the-dribble jumpers from beyond the arc that he drained. Also for the Wolves, Gorgie Jang gets a nod as a stud, 15 points, 6 rebounds. He had an assist and a block, only turned the ball over once. He only played 24 minutes because the Wolves got such solid minutes from Naz Reid and Jordan Bell. Tough to identify too many other just straight studs for the Wolves in this game because they had such a balanced attack and yet they didn't shoot the ball all that well overall. I think just from a necessity standpoint, Jalen Noel would probably be my third star in this game. He had 12 points in just 16 minutes, 4 of 11 shooting, but he was aggressive. He missed his first 5 3-point attempts and for his career was, I think, 0 for 13. Dave Benz on the Wolves broadcast was basically counting off how many threes because Noel's shooting almost 50% from beyond the arc in the G League. And so the fact that he started his NBA career 0 for like 13 from the floor or from beyond the arc is crazy. He finally made a couple of those. So he was 4 of 11 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3-point range, 12 points, 2 rebounds and a block in 16 minutes. Was solid. So I guess he would be my third star in this game for the Wolves. Overall, just a really balanced attack. My only dud, or I guess duds for this game would be Robert Covington. He only had attempted one shot until the final quarter. He finished with 7 points on 2 of 4 shooting. He actually overall had a really solid line and was a positive contributor. So he's not really a dud, except for the fact that he was unable to squeeze the trigger when he's the de facto best player on the floor for the Wolves in terms of being a two-way player, best three-point shooter available for the Wolves in this game, or at least best proven NBA caliber shooter. He finished with 7 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and a block. It was a plus one in 33 minutes. So he's not a true dud in that he was inefficient and ineffective, but the Wolves need to find a way to get him more shots. It's unacceptable for him to shoot twice from beyond the arc in a game that the Wolves shoot 46 threes. But clearly the Bucks were concentrating on trying to limit him, and they let the Wolves rookies shoot threes. Naz Reid had 7 3-point attempts. Jalen Noel had 7 3-point attempts. Kade Bates-Diop, 5 3-point attempts. 5 each for Keelan Martin, Gorgie Jang, Jarrett Culver, 7 for Shabazz Napier. So everybody except for Jordan Bell that played in this game attempted more three-pointers than Robert Covington, which is just a crazy way to look at this. But the Wolves need to do a better job of getting him more long-range attempts. All right, next up, we're going to preview Wolves-Warriors, and then we'll round out the rest of the week for the Wolves. The Wolves just lost to the Warriors prior to Christmas last week. It was the 11th loss in a row. That was game 11 of the 11-game losing streak for the Wolves in a game that they were largely in middle stages of the game. They fell behind late first half, but the Wolves pulled within a couple of possessions early in the fourth quarter. Wiggins did play in this game. This was 2 days before their win that they had in Sacramento that broke the long losing streak. This was the game where the Wolves didn't play with much energy at all. They got 4 points or less from three starters. And Wiggins had 22. Jordan McLaughlin off the bench had 19 as the Wolves went with a stretch late in the game with Jalen Noel, Jordan McLaughlin, Keelan Martin, Kade Bates-Diop, a young lineup that was really energetic and played well. Keelan Martin was a plus 15 in 16 minutes in a game that the Wolves lost by 9. If that gives you any indication as to how big of a role the bench played in this game. Andrew Wiggins was a minus 20 in 39 minutes. So basically, The minutes with Martin on the floor and no Wiggins were the best minutes for the Wolves as they made their fourth quarter push. Ultimately, they still lost by 9 to Golden State. Golden State was 6-24 heading into that game. And the Wolves overall, just a really disappointing performance. The last time around against the Warriors, D'Angelo Russell again had a big game against them. He had 30 points, 5-11 beyond the arc in 33 minutes. Alec Burks also hurt them, 25 points on 13 shots in 34 minutes, and nobody else really did much damage for the Warriors, which is, I guess, kind of the status quo for them at this point. D'Angelo Russell did not play on Tuesday when the Spurs took on, or when the Warriors took on the Spurs. San Antonio won in overtime. The Golden State's been playing a lot better lately. That win over the Wolves was part of a four-game winning streak. They had a five-game homestand. They won four in a row. Golden State beat New Orleans, Minnesota, Houston, and Phoenix. Of course, New Orleans and Minnesota are the other worst teams in the West right now. The Rockets win and Phoenix win are nice wins for Golden State. And then they lost on the road to the Mavs by 20 and dropped the overtime game in San Antonio the other night. So they're playing a lot better of late. And even without Russell, they were in the game against San Antonio. If Russell doesn't play, this is a game the Wolves should win. Even if Towns doesn't play, I would take a starless Wolves team over a starless Warriors team, especially if they play the way that they did in Milwaukee on Wednesday. It is the second half of a back-to-back, so that is going to factor in a little bit in terms of fatigue and what the Wolves are able to do against Golden State. We don't know whether or not D'Angelo Russell will be playing. We also don't have an official injury report as of this recording for the Wolves. It seems unlikely that anybody that didn't play Wednesday would suddenly be good to go on Thursday. Unless maybe they just wanted to avoid a re-injury for somebody like Jeff Teague, who was doubtful headed into the game with a knee issue. Maybe he's able to play since he's not playing both games of a back-to-back, and the Wolves figured this was a more winnable game. But we can cross our fingers and hope that perhaps Towns is able to get back or Wiggins is healthy. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Again, don't know if D'Angelo Russell is going to play either on Thursday night, but that would obviously change the dynamic of this game quite a bit. It was originally scheduled to be on NBA TV. It's still listed that way on ESPN's website. It has the game listed as an NBA TV game, although the DirecTV guide does not have this game listed, and I wouldn't blame NBA TV for swapping out of a matchup between a 9-win team and a 12-win team to a different game on Thursday. But at any rate, Wolves Warriors is at 7, and then the Wolves don't play again until the weekend. They have Friday and Saturday off. And we'll suit up on Sunday as they will take on the – on Sunday they'll be in Cleveland to take on the Cavs as part of a quick two-game road trip before they start this weird stretch where they play a game at – they have a bunch of one-game road trips here coming up. But again, a stretch of winnable games. The quick look at the Western Conference standings tells us that the Timberwolves are somehow still kind of hanging tough. They're 2.5 back of the Spurs for the 8th spot in the West. So – a win over Golden State would be key. They're now only four games ahead of Golden State after losing to them, and Golden State had that hot streak. So important game for the Wolves if they want to stay relevant in the conversation for the playoffs in the West. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. We'll be back on Friday morning recapping Wolves Warriors, looking ahead to the weekend. A quick preview for Sunday's game against the Cavs as we cover the week ahead for the Wolves. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.